Textures count as much as ideas in Cynthia Ozick's fiction. The shawl is a dazzling work of art because of language, no matter what it thinks. The trouble is that Ozick wants us to think. She distrusts the manipulation of feelings by art as performance, art as trickery. In her critical essays, she's fiercely prescriptive. The second commandment, "Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image nor any manner of likeness," is as real to her as the book at hand, the face in the mirror, the Jew in history. In these essays, she's an idol smasher. Heads will roll. "Ought Jews to be storytellers at all?" she asks, corrupting history with image, likeness, magic, miracles. What good is any art so long as they're killers who play Mozart at the gates of Auschwitz? She disdains Mailer and Updike, Nabokov and Virginia Woolf. Of E.M. Forster, she says, "His humanity goes from wound to wound. It is the humanism of cripples. It is too thin. The thugs escape." From literature, she demands a certain corona of moral purpose. But in her own fiction, in Bloodshed and The Cannibal Galaxy and The Messiah of Stockholm, she's a shaman, like a Chagall, or like Feingold in her masterpiece Levitation. She dances in the air, full of startling, joyous, darkly funny images, of jumping beans. She's so good at what she warns us against, narratives and suspenses, turning points and palaces, mermen and dragons, that we feel guilty about admiring her, as if for the wrong reasons. The shawl goes partway toward solving this problem with a horror almost unremitting. The magic in it is dread. We first meet Rosa Lublin in the story in a death camp. Her daughter Magda, whom she's nourished on a cinnamon and almond-scented shawl, is murdered, thrown by a German at an electrified fence. We find Rosa again years later in the novella, alone in Miami. What's happened between the story and the novella is that history itself has been turned into an idol to be smashed. The history of the Holocaust has been co-opted by sociologists who convert human beings into blue digits on the arm, abstractions called survivors, with repressed animation and other neurological residues. "Who made up these words?" asks Mad Rosa in Miami. "Parasites on the throat of suffering." She still has the shawl, a holy relic, from which she dreams a grown-up Magda. This, of course, is idolatrous. But so is Rosa's poisoned memory an idol. She thinks of her real life as wartime, the past, stolen from her, like her child. In hiding from Simon Persky, an old man she meets in a laundromat who would restore her to the idea of a future, she is hiding from her sanity. To these disturbing ideas, now add the Ozick texture. We begin to realize, without being bullied, that Rosa's not the only one who's crazy. So is Miami, a kind of theme park for the modern world's forgetfulness and monstrous abstractions. Another sort of death camp, where 70-year-old women are flirts, and men of the same age have turned inward, running their lives in front of their eyes like secret movies. And all of them are scarecrows, blown about under the murdering sunball. Thus Ozick, who went to an American high school during World War II, bears brilliant witness to the death of poetry and the death of reason everywhere.